1 John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, if you look there with me, very familiar passage of Scripture. And yet I believe the Lord would have us to focus on this morning for the message that God has for us. And every week, whenever we assemble ourselves together, only God knows who's going to be here. And God knows what He has for each and every one. And I just try to continue to be sensitive to what God would have me to present. And I believe this is a message that God has for us here this morning. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. We'll begin in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. We'll actually read down to chapter 2 and verse 2, just 12 verses. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, speaking of Jesus Christ, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins and for not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All humanity. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your blessings that You bestow upon us, for the opportunity to be in church this morning, for Your presence in this place. And Father, right now, we just bow before You and we pray that, God, that You'd meet with us in a very special way, that You'd speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. I ask, God, that You would use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message to Your people from Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As John speaks of Jesus in verses 1 and 2, he reveals to us that He was from the beginning and He is that eternal life. He was with the Father and of the Father. He's always been. Jesus did not just come about some 2,000 years ago when He was born in that little stable in Bethlehem. That He was always been. The Bible says that He was there in the very beginning, the creation of all things. He is God who was manifested in the flesh to give to us an example of how we ought to live in this flesh. It was God manifested in the flesh. Verse 3 and 4, He reveals the blessings of fellowship with Him. Our fellowship was with the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't get that turned around. Again, we're in a day and age where people are looking to fellowship more with the Holy Spirit. He's not there to be worshipped, and He's not there to be to have fellowship with Him. We fellowship with the Father through Jesus, through the blood of Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, He dwells within us. Let's keep that as God has given it to us. We pray to the Father through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the blessing of fellowship with Him, And he says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." There's joy in fellowship with God. Verses 5 and 7, it reveals to us what it requires. What it requires for us to truly have the joy of fellowship with God. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." It's God's message. "The God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," if you have sin in your life, unconfessed sin in your life, you're walking in darkness, you do not have fellowship with God. Even if you say you do, the Bible says we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's the key, we have fellowship. Not only with God, but with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So it reveals the fellowship, the blessing of the fellowship, what it requires. And then it reveals to us that we're all sinners, apt to live in darkness, apt to sin every day. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. "I'm so spiritual, I never sin." The Bible says you're a liar. I don't know where you got that from, but you didn't get it from God. You can't obtain to the place where you'll never sin again. That's not as long as we're in this body and this sinful flesh and this sinful nature. There's going to be times that things cross our mind and we yield to and sin. Things we do, we don't respond as we should respond. Sin. Amen? So we find there in verse 8... And then in verse 10, it says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." So what it requires to have this fellowship, but realize that we are sinners. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, "My little children, those of you that are saved, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." We are not to accept sin in our lives. What a powerful message. But the key to it all was found in verse 9. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. That's a verse that most believers could quote and do quote. If we confess our sins, plural, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Two important things to be mindful of every day in order to stay in close fellowship with God. It will require confession and forgiveness. In order to stay in close fellowship with God, it will require confession of sin and forgiveness of sin. Two important things every day that we have to be mindful of. Confession of sin. Forgiveness, which leads to cleansing, is not automatic. We must first confess. God knows who we are. He tells us who we are. He reveals Himself to us, who He is and what He's able to do for us. He's able to cleanse us. He's able to forgive us. We're able to have fellowship with Him, praise the Lord, and have the joy of fellowship. We know who He is and what it takes to have the fellowship, but we are sinners. We have a sin nature. And so he says, it's not automatic that you have forgiveness of sins. It's not automatic that you have fellowship with me. Even though you're saved, not automatic that you can have the joy of fellowship. You must confess. My wife, we just got her a new car not too long ago. And it was time. It was about, her other one was 8 years old. Things started going wrong with it. So we bought her a new car. But this car, the new one, does not have auto lights. And she's used to having put it on the auto. As soon as it starts getting dark outside, automatically the lights come on. And so now she has people honking at her and blinking their lights, and because she hasn't gotten used to that yet. It's not automatic if you don't have automatic, amen? You have to, when it gets dark enough, turn your lights on. Just because God offers forgiveness, it's available to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, as we've just heard. What a great song leading into the message. It's not automatic. We must confess our sins. Confess our sins. How many would say, don't raise your hand, but I know that I'm a sinner? If I have you to raise your hand, I would think, in church especially, everyone here would raise their hand. Even though you might not want everyone else to see. But you realize, no, I have a sin nature. Most of the lost people in the world, if you ask them, are you a sinner? They would agree. But then, if I would ask, how many have confessed to God all their sins? Wouldn't be as many hands up. If I would ask how many confess some of their sins, all the hands, most of them would come up. But then when I say, have confessed all your sins, it seems like Satan works in our lives to try to get us to hold on to a few. Because we don't want to give up on that. And we don't want to change that. And we think as long as we the good outweighs the bad, as long as I'm doing more good deeds than bad deeds, then maybe that's going to get me fellowship with God. And the Bible says if you walk in darkness and you walk in darkness by committing sin, you can't have fellowship with God. God requires confession of sins, plural, all of them. He has worked throughout the scriptures to get man to realize that he has to confess sin in order to have fellowship with God. Began in the book of Genesis. Look back there. We want to read this. I'm going to show you this. Genesis chapter 3. Man was not created with a sin nature. He was created in the image and likeness of God to live forever, to have fellowship with God, to live on this planet Earth, which this planet Earth was not created to have to be cursed. It was created to be a blessing. Everything about the stars, everything about the universe, everything about the atmosphere of Earth was created by God, designed by God to be a blessing. It only changed because of sin. The body changed because of sin. The earth changed because of sin. Wow. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, after he told them, if you sin, you shall surely die, and told them what not to do and what not to look to, that's what they focused on. And Eve took of the forbidden fruit, and then Adam ate of the fruit. And we find that God, being an almighty creator, God sees all things, knows all things, saw what took place, knew what took place. He still created them with a free will. And after they committed this sin, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Did God know where he was? I guarantee you God knew where he was. He's helping Adam to realize you've done wrong. You've committed sin. Look where you're at now. You're hiding from me. Where are you? Are you hiding from God? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Already starting to see some of the curse of sin. Hast thou eaten of the tree? Getting him to answer him, questioning him. Jesus always used parable, always questioned. Because he wanted to lead people to confession, confessing their sins. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. And now, the woman said, Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The first thing that comes to mind when you are caught in sin is to blame somebody else for it. Pass it off. Surely I'm not at fault. Like your child telling you when you come out there and you're looking at that child because he's just thrown the baseball through the plate glass window. And you come out there to address that child that just threw that baseball through the plate glass window, and he looks at you and he says, you gave me the ball. You might be right, I gave you the ball, but I didn't give you the ball to throw it through the window. I gave you the ball to play baseball, to play pitch and catch, not at the door, not at the window. That does not excuse what you've done with the ball that I gave you. And we find that Adam and Eve, once they realized that that was not an illegitimate excuse, there is no excuse for sin. God had given them a free will. They did confess. I did eat. I did eat. Adam says, I did eat. Eve said, I did eat. And God says, that's what I want you to come to the place where you will acknowledge that you did wrong. And you confess with your own mouth, I have sinned. Confession. Confession. There would be forgiveness and restored fellowship, but not without a severe consequence that we are all still paying for today. Yeah. Confession was required throughout the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. God wanted them to, when they did sin, when they did wrong, all you have to do is confess it and turn from the sin and turn to me. Matter of fact, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want you to see this because it's leading up to what God is working in our lives for us to do. He's working in your life to get us to confess all our sins, not just a few and not just the ones that we can do without. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, very familiar passage. I love this passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God speaks to them concerning the house that Solomon would build, the place where he would dwell. And he says in verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now listen to me. If I shut up heaven, if I'm judging you, if I'm not blessing you, you're not receiving the blessings of fellowship. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, realize if God is judging, if God is chastening, there's sin present. Unconfessed sin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek that fellowship, and turn from their wicked way. Look what he says. Then I will hear. What is he hearing? He's hearing their confession. And he sees not only are they confessing, but they're forsaking that way and having a desire to do right. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Forgiveness, not automatic. There has to be confession. And will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent. I'm waiting. I see it. I know what's going on. Don't think you're hiding it from me. I see it, Adam. I see it, Eve. I'm going to question you. I'm going to get you to the place where you realize what you must do, and you must come to that place of just confess it. Don't blame somebody else. Don't excuse it away. Just tell me, I did eat. I've committed sin. Then I hear, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attendant to the prayer that is made in this place. Fellowship with God requires confession of sin. Sins, all of our sins. Chapter 1, verse 9 reveals the need to confess our sins. And then he says he is faithful and just to forgive. What a blessing. If we confess. If we confess, meaning all our sins, he will forgive. If we hold on to one or two, what happens? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. This is what God says about your fellowship with him. That God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He will not fellowship with darkness. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, no matter how much you want to convince yourself that you are walking with God and you're in fellowship with God, if you have sin, unconfessed sin in your life, the Bible says we lie and we do not the truth. You don't have it. If we are mindful of being forgiven for all our sins, can I tell you we'll be more apt to forgive others? God wants us to be aware of this. God says, you'll be aware that I want to forgive you for your sins. But in order to have forgiveness for your sins, you have to confess your sins. If you confess your sins, I am faithful and I'm just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all. And you can have fellowship with me once again. But these are things that we need to learn, not only in our right to have a right relationship with God, but to have a right relationship with each other. We need to get to the place where we're ready to confess the sins that we have committed against other men, the sins that we have committed against our spouses, even the sins that we have committed against our children, the sins that we have committed against our parents, the sins that we have committed against other people. We have to get to that place where not only do we confess our sins to God, but when we have done wrong by somebody else, then we will go to that individual, because the Bible says, I can't even take my gifts before the altar and have a right relationship with God unless I am willing to go to that person that I have offended and ask for their forgiveness and confess, I've offended you. I've done wrong by you. God won't have fellowship with me until I'm willing to confess to you my sin against you. Wow. Yeah. Matter of fact, we find Jesus teaching his disciples that very same principle. Look with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. If we're mindful of God forgiving us of our sins after we have confessed to him our sins, we'll be more apt to forgive others. And we'll be more apt to confess to others. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Is seven the limit? How many are very thankful that seven was not the limit with God forgiving you? Amen. I'd have used that up right after I got saved. There would be no more grace, no more mercy. Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times. Until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Basically, he takes what Peter says seven times, and he says, no, let's just multiply that to a number that is really telling you it's unlimited. I'm so thankful that God's forgiveness of me is unlimited. I'm so thankful that even if I come to Him 70 times 70 in one day, if I truly confess, I'm forgiven every time. If God requires that of humanity, if that God requires that of every believer to be willing to forgive once you have had somebody ask you for forgiveness, if it's 7 times 70, if God requires us to do that, just think of how much more He's willing to forgive us. He goes from there and He gives them a parable, which really emphasizes what He's just taught them. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Anytime you see the kingdom of heaven in the scripture, that means this is the ways of God. These are the ways of God. Likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I mean, a huge fortune. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. That was according to the law. That was not over the top. That was just according to the laws of the land. If he owed that, he was required to do this to pay his debt. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him this huge debt, a fortune. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pennies. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. He would not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Legally, he could have done that. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. He asked. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due unto him. And then put it all together, he says in verse 35, likewise, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That means if I am to continue to have the forgiveness of God, then I must be looking to forgive others. And if I fail to forgive others, if I have this unforgiving spirit to forgive others, I'm walking in darkness. And if I'm walking in darkness, can I tell you, according to the Word of God, I cannot have fellowship with God. Satan works in darkness. And that unforgiving spirit will eat you up. It will destroy your peace. It will do far more damage to you than what you think you're doing to somebody else that you won't forgive. God says, I want you to have the joy. I want you to have fellowship with me. But in order to have fellowship with me, you can't walk in darkness. If you're going to walk in the light, you're going to live as I have commanded you to live. the two things that we have to focus on: confession and forgiveness. We must live life being, first of all, willing to confess. If you've done wrong, confess it. More than likely, your wife knows it anyway. More than likely, your children know it. I tell people, when you get your life turned around, you might have made a lot of mistakes with your family. But now you want to do right. Now you want to be the husband and the father that God wants you to be. First thing you need to do, after you've made things right with God, go to your wife and confess to her. Go to your children and confess to them. I was wrong by allowing you to do everything that you wanted to do. I was wrong by allowing you to do things I knew that was not good for you. I was wrong in whatever it might have been. Now I'm wanting to do what's right. And by God's grace and with His help, I'm going to be the father that God wants you to have. I'm going to be, as we preach on this weekend with the men's retreat, I'm going to represent God to you as a Christian husband. As Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." He first had to realize who he was. And once he was put himself in God's hands, once he understood who God was and realized he was a saved man looking to God, then he said, "God, use me to represent you to my wife, to my family, to my coworkers, to my church, to my generation. Send me." An opportunity God was given Isaiah to represent him to others. What a blessing. It's exactly what we need to do. Confess. I've messed up to this point. With God's help, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that wife. I'm going to be that mother. You can't do anything about yesterday, but tomorrow's in your hands. It's men. We can know that we have a right relationship when confessions are freely made and forgiveness is the rule. You want to have a right relationship with God? Two of the most important things for you to learn: confession and forgiveness. What a great blessing that God gives us. And knowing that we can have a right relationship with Him and have the joy of fellowship. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Confession. You're confessing sin, but are you confessing all sins? If you're holding on to one or two, can I tell you, you're still living in darkness. You need to confess them all. Sin of unforgiveness. Think about how God has forgiven you. How many times? No limit. No limit. And you ought to be thankful for it. Look back on my life. I would have went well over that limit if there was a limit. I'm so thankful that God's forgiveness is limitless. Confession. Freely made. Freely made. Often. Don't hold on to them. Confess them. And forgiveness is the rule. Father, thank you. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for helping us to understand these biblical principles. I pray, God, that this would help us, first and foremost, to know that we have fellowship with you. But then, God, to know that it will help us in our relationship with others. Work in our lives. Bless now this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.